Good morning. Thank you, worship team, for leading us. Not sure if I should drink that in there or not. It's not clear. Maybe I'll skip it. Thank you again, worship team. In January, I shared on non-resistance and loving your enemies. In February, I shared on marriage with an attempt to include everyone. And this morning also has a unique focus. And I'm talking about children, or two children, actually. So the focus age group for this morning is 10 to 15. Right there, kind of almost and in junior high, maybe just after junior high. The fun years of discovering who you are and what you like and how God made you. But I found there's a lot of room for the rest of us to listen and learn this morning. And even though I started sharing and speaking to children, I found that again and again I was pointing at myself in most of my illustrations. And I imagine that you as adults will also find your own reflection in this message as I focus on children a little bit this morning. And my prayer also is this message might be a resource for you to be able to give a young person or a parent as God directs you. So starting this morning, did you know that our covenant, something that document that we sign as members every year, one of the points in there is two children. Actually, point number 10, it says, I believe that children should obey their parents in the Lord. I believe that children should obey their parents in the Lord. And this is taken from Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And so this is Paul writing this to the Ephesians and referencing the Ten Commandments. And again, the Ten Commandments were received from God, written by God's finger and handed to Moses. And so God wrote this with his own finger. And this is what he wrote. He said, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And God wrote with his own finger, honor your father and your mother. And there's no getting around this command. No one can escape this command, for we all have a father and we all have a mother. Amen. We are all a part of this commandment. Now, you'll notice that we are all called to honor. We are not all called to love our father and our mother. Sadly, because not all mothers and fathers are lovable. This is, again, sad but true. So if you're here this morning as that 10 to 15-year-olds, and if your parents are lovable, you should be very thankful, because not everyone who was born on this earth has two lovable parents. You are blessed by God just to have parents that are worthy to be loved by you. Even in whatever little way that you can love them back, you are blessed. We are all called to honor our parents. And there's another little fun proverb that, this is a little punny, but it does not get old. So if you don't know this one, turn to it, Proverbs 23, 22. Proverbs 23, 22. It says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. It's amazing how your perspective changes through the years as you find this verse off and on through your life. A lot of things get old, but this verse does not get old. I think it rings truer and clearer with age. Maybe a few of us should highlight this one, just in case we ever need it. I mean, no one ever really needs it now, but just in case there comes a time, maybe we should highlight that. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And so we looked at this morning a few verses that cover obeying and honoring and listening to and not despising. And we get to the question, so what's the difference between obeying and honoring? Because there is a difference. But this is the question that comes up when I speak to youth. This is the first question that comes up. What is the difference between obeying and honoring? Because children are called for both, to both. But what's the difference? I think that there is a difference, and there is a time when obeying ends. When you are mature enough to be on your own in this world and you are parting from your parents' clothing and food and roof, sometime in there, in that transition, you stop obeying your parents as they stop telling you what to do. Ideally, there's kind of an equal separation there. Obeying has an end. And honor has no time limit. Honor does not end as long as they're alive. But obeying does come to an end. And so, how could you honor if you're not necessarily wanting to obey? I was posed that question as the youth pastor here many years ago. It was from a young man that attended here. He doesn't anymore. And he brought this question to me. So how do I honor my parents, but I don't necessarily want to obey them in this thing? And so I believe God shared with me an answer, and hopefully it helps maybe some youth and parents here. So I asked the young man, I said, do you trust your parents? And he said, yes, I do. Okay, good. Then I asked him to call a meeting with his folks and to make an appeal. And I instructed him to have the parents listen only. And I requested that he give them some time to respond. And I forget exactly, but he gave them a week or 2 weeks to respond to his appeal. And so then I asked him to ask his parents the same questions that he was asking me. I said, ask your parents this. How can I honor you if I feel like in this one instance I don't want to obey? Ask them the question. How can I honor you if I don't want to obey? For that's the real question. It wasn't if he should go and do something or not, but truly it was, how do I honor my parents if I'm feeling something different than they are? And I couldn't answer that question for him. That's something that he had to work through. And I explained to him that bringing up the conversation is a sign of maturity, and I'm sure that would help his case. But it's important to note that this young man did already obey his parents and had a good relationship with them. Now, I'm so sorry, but I don't know how the story ended. I didn't go back and ask him. I wasn't nosy, so we'll just have to let it go at that. But that's the illustration. I know that today he does have a good relationship with his parents, so I'm sure everything worked out. But there is an aspect in obeying your parents that should be fairly cut and dried. It's kind of how do you begin this? It's the part about your sort of love life. Okay. How do we honor our parents in this aspect of your young life? And so, if you're in that age group, 10 to 15 or whatever, just get a little piece of paper or find a little place to make a note or something. And I have this statement that I'm going to read and see if you agree, okay? So this is the place, talking about your young love life, your crush, and all those fun things and the emotions of a young person. This is the place where you are most fragile. And this is the place where you can be hurt the most. This is the place where you can really be led astray. This is the place where you can begin to feel your parents do not understand you and your feelings at all. And this is the place where we often want to disregard the direction and insights of our parents. This is the place where we most are most confident in our own feelings and intuitions. And this is the place where we are very confident in what and how we feel personally, and no one else really understands us. And so I ask, is that true? Did I just speak truth? If so, write yes somewhere on the little piece of paper. Hide it in the corner or something. Do you agree? Write yes. Now listen again to what I just said. There's a slow progression that you might have missed. And this is the place where you are most fragile. And this is the place where you can be hurt the most. And this is the place where you can really be led astray. This is the place where you begin to feel your parents don't understand you and your feelings. And then it goes on. There's a slow progression there. And my plea to young folks here this morning is, understand how dangerous your feelings can be. Understand how dangerous your feelings can be. In light of that, if you need to make a little note on your piece of paper, maybe it's a good idea, I need help. I think it's important that you decide now to trust your parents with these feelings and this part of your life. Decide now that you are willing to obey them, especially in this most intimate area of your life. If there's one area of your young life that can impact the rest of your life, it is in this area. And decide now that you're going to listen to them. And this is, if you wait until you have feelings of excitement and eyes filled with desire about someone or something in particular, it will be very difficult to listen to your folks when these feelings have developed in your heart. Decide now to listen to your parents. And this is the one area where I wholeheartedly preach complete obedience. See, the funny thing is, you never quit obeying in this area of your life, in your desires, and in your personal life. You never really quit obeying. These feelings and desires, they wax and wane, but they never go completely away. You need to learn to obey God and rule over your feelings, and it is no easier than right now when you're 10 to 15. Let me illustrate. Somewhere in 2010 to 14, I worked for a bigger company, and the owner of the company had a shore house in Avalon, New Jersey. And before the season started, which would be after Memorial Day, is the season for the summer shore houses down in Avalon, he would send me with a couple of young fellows down to work on his shore house in Avalon, usually in May, to get the house cleaned and ready and prepped, and we'd do repairs and fix up his house, get ready for his house so he could go there in the summertime. And so we would go down early on a Wednesday morning on our time, and then we'd leave at noon and sit in traffic all the way home on his time. That was the agreement. And so we would spend our mornings and working there and days working there, and we'd always go to Wawa, and we'd grab our hoagie, and we'd sit there in a truck, and we'd eat our hoagie there in a truck when we were working in Avalon, New Jersey. And one day there was a truck with a newer truck, four-door truck, had four doors, and there was four old guys sitting in the truck, and the windows were down. And we were sitting a couple spaces over, and these old guys were saying 4, 8, 6... 9, and we could not figure out what they were doing. They weren't loud, but they weren't quiet. They weren't trying to hide anything. And we were observing what these guys, they were just saying numbers, and we were like, this is a little weird. And it took us a while, but then we figured it out. They were raiding the girls going in Wawa. They could have all been their granddaughters. But this is what they had come to. How sad. They had let their mind go. And there they sat, as 70-plus-year-old men, watching girls going in and out of Wawa. It was very sad. That's how wretched our mind can get when we do not obey God and His Word. And if you're making notes and you wrote yes and you say you'd like some help, write down this one, Luke 11, 33 to 34. Luke 11, 33 to 34. And no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. And therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Another one for you to write down. Write down 1 John 2, 15 to 17. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And write down Hebrews 4. 12 to 13. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You see, we are accountable to God for what we do, for what we say, for what we see. We are all called to obedience. And we learn this how? By obeying our parents. Huh? What? Wait. Are you serious, Eric, right now? Yes, I am. So what are you learning as a youth when you totally, maybe begrudgingly submit to and obey your parents in your personal life? What can you possibly learn from that? Just complete obedience. Who learns anything from that? Can you learn anything from just blanket obedience? Why, yes. Yes, you can. Thanks for asking. You are learning to control your own thoughts. You are learning how to control your own desires by obeying your parents in your personal life. You are learning to not trust how you feel when you fully obey your parents. Because there is coming a day when you will have a phone or you will have a computer and no one will be watching you. And you will have to decide, what do you click on? Do you listen to? What video do you watch? Will you obey God? Or will you watch what fills your heart with excitement and your eyes with desire? You see, we all have to win that battle. Truly, obeying our parents is how you give yourself a head start in that battle. We all have to choose every day if we will obey our Heavenly Father. Or if you're a child, if you obey your earthly father. But either way, we are called to obey. We do not ever get a pass from obedience. I'm sorry to inform you, as a young person, obedience does not go away, ever. This is what we are all called to for our entire lives. For obeying your parents is eerily similar to obeying God. In fact, it is the very beginning of obeying God himself. And if you don't like it, and if you buck God's plan of obedience, then you will live your life on the side of a steep hill, and you will struggle your whole life just to hang on. Metaphorically, God wants you to live on the level. with each other and with him. But when we choose to disobey, we add a steepness and we add a struggle to our lives that make it difficult for us just to hang on to this world. And God desires with all of his heart for you to obey him. We learn this not just from him, but mostly from learning to obey our parents from an early age. And there's another verse in the Bible talking about obeying your parents. It's found in Colossians 3:20. It says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." I like this one here in Colossians. It's pretty clear, right? Children, obey your parents in all things. I don't think you missed anything there. In all things. Obey in what you watch. Obey in what you listen to. Obey in where you go. Obey in who your friends are. How do you do that? How do you obey in all things? Because this is not easy. Well, you start small. You start by obeying to unload the dishwasher. You obey your parents when they tell you to make the bed. I probably told you this before. Well, I know I told you this before, but it's been a little bit. But I had to obey my mom one time. Just once, no. Not more than once. But I obeyed my mom one time when it absolutely made no sense. It's the teeth brushing story. Remember that one? I was waiting for my friends to pick me up. Pick me up. I was 15, 16 years old. I mean, I was just about out the door, you know. I was waiting for my friends to pick me up. And we were eating dinner. And dinner was a little bit later. And so this was back in the day before we could phone and text. And so when someone said they were coming at a certain time, you had, you know, 10, 15-minute window when they might show up because, you know, nobody knew exactly when someone was coming. And so I was eating dinner with my family in a hurry, trying to get done with dinner so I could have my dessert so that I could go with my friends in case they came right away. And I finished my dinner, and I asked for dessert, and my mom said, "Well, you better go brush your teeth in case your friends come." And I was like, "Well, if they don't come, then I could, why don't I just have dessert first and then I'll brush my teeth?" And she's like, "Well, no, because if your friends come, you got to leave right away. You don't want to make them wait. So you should brush your teeth first. And then if you have time, eat dessert." And I'm 15, 16 going, "Yeah, I don't think so." And I'm sitting at a table and I said, "Are you serious? I need to brush my teeth and then eat dessert." And I looked at my dad. He was busy chewing. And then pretty soon it was quiet enough, my mom started looking at my dad. So we're both watching one guy chew. So he put his fork down and he said, "You better listen to his mother." Then he quick took a bite and kept chewing. So I knew he wasn't going to say anything else. And so I brushed my teeth. Then I ate my dessert. And then my friends picked me up and I left. Weird tasting dessert. So I shared that strange interaction with my parents before. An illustration was to always side with your wife. No matter if it makes sense or not, always, 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 in front of the children especially, always side with your wife. I'm still learning that one. But never second guess your spouse. But it took me a long time until I finally realized that the real strength in that scenario was my dad. Even when it wasn't logical, he supported his wife. And for years, I thought that was the weakest thing my dad ever did, and it took me a long time, but that was probably the strongest thing he ever did. But what did obeying crazy things my mom said ever teach me about God? How did that story help me obey God more? Well, have you ever thought God was crazy? I mean, not literally, but have you ever thought that God did not quite know what he was doing? I mean, not about others, just your life. Like, we believe God and we trust God in others, but every once in a while, we feel like God might have missed it when he was dealing with us personally. I think we often feel that way. Most of us have at some point, and even though it makes no sense to us, we still need to obey. Even when we do not get God, even when he is not logical, we must obey. Obeying does not end. It is a test for your entire life. We are to obey our whole life long. 2 Thessalonians, this was a new one, I found this one, 2 Thessalonians 3, 13 to 15. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So here we are in print, expected to complete and obey 2 Thessalonians, at the very least. Shifting gears a little bit, some new illustrations. We did have a great night at the father-daughter banquet. It was good to see fathers investing and engaging with their daughters last Sunday evening. We had a wonderful meal, and we had a video presentation from the counselors at Life Ministries. It was really good. We even had an obstacle course. We had the small tables and a few chairs kind of set up in a row here between the gray line and the black line, which is, what, 6 or 8 feet across, something like that. And they were kind of, you know, the furniture was sporadically placed through the middle here from that side to this side. And then I asked for 3 volunteers. And, of course, 3 young ladies right away raised their hands before I even told them the rules, which was really cool. And so I had the young ladies come to the far side over there, and then I blindfolded the first one, and then I told everybody to be quiet, and then I told them that their father was to lead them through this maze all the way to the end. And so he took their hand, and he quickly led them through the maze, nothing flat, under a minute. It's like, all right. Everybody cheered for him. And then the next young lady was up, and we gave her the blindfold, and I said, okay, everybody get quiet again. I said, now this time, you can't lead their hand. You have to speak to them and get them through the maze. And so everybody was quiet, and we listened as the father gave instruction to his daughter, and he worked her all the way down. It took three-plus minutes probably, but made it all the way through successfully, and everybody cheered. They got to the other side. And then the next young lady, she got up, and we gave her the blindfold. And I said, okay, now everybody, you can't touch your daughter. You're just going to lead her with your voice. And everybody else make a lot of noise. And, yeah, they didn't get real far. It was hard to hear. It was hard to, and pretty soon they stepped out of bounds. And the point for the evening was for them to stay close enough and to stay in tune with their fathers so that they could get through the distractions of this world. And that was kind of the point. But then I was surprised that most of the other girls wanted to go through the course with their dads. And so we rounded up a bunch of dish rags, and we rounded up more blindfolds, and they came through the course all the way down through. Most of them took their turn and came through. And it was interesting to watch how that was done. And I found some illustrations in that. Some of the younger ones, you know, were led through by their father's hands, but most of the girls wanted to be spoken to be led through that course, kind of directed through. And some of the fathers walked backwards, like trying to protect their child so they wouldn't run into anything, and was speaking kind of in their face and giving them directions, but of course the rights weren't right and the lefts weren't left, because they were backwards, and they were trying to keep them from bumping into stuff. And it was kind of cumbersome to watch them go through this thing, one backwards and one forward. But they got through. And then there was other fathers that got right behind their daughter and would speak very quietly and would whisper in their ear and give them the instruction right from behind them. And they would go through the course pretty good. And then there were some fathers who would get behind them and say, two steps forward, stop, left, two, left, stop, go, stop, go. And they got through also, just different ways of doing it. Just not wrong, just different ways of doing it. And as I pondered that, and as I observed last Sunday night, I couldn't help but draw through parallels with our Heavenly Father. Because he rarely, if ever, walks backwards before us trying to protect us. He most often is behind us, whispering in our ear, encouraging us, trying to get us to move forward. Reminds me of Proverbs 6:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. This was my favorite verse as a young man. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I had dreams, I had things I wanted to do and places I wanted to go, and I asked God to come with me. And I asked him to direct my steps, but there was places I wanted to see and things I wanted to do. And I did some crazy stuff. I rode my motorcycle from Florida all the way up to Washington State and back to Colorado. And when I was 19, I was quite adventurous. But I asked God to come with me. And so this verse was very meaningful to me. And I can look back and see how he protected my steps as I planned my course. And so that's not everybody. And oftentimes, we kind of wait on God to get in front of us, and we kind of wait on God to shout loudly in our face so that we know what he wants us to do, and yet he rarely does this. God is most often found whispering in our ear encouragement as we move forward in faith. I find God to be more of a director instead of a protector. Yes, he protects us in this life, but his goal is not protection as much as it is direction. This is what God does. He directs even more than he protects. And so often in my prayers, I reference protection for what is, for what was, for what will be, but rarely do I find myself praying for direction. Asking for direction implies that I need help getting to where I'm going, and that's not me. I can get lost all by myself, thank you. But that's kind of the point. We need direction daily. We need to ask for his direction in our daily walk. God, help us all to ask for direction at least as much as we ask for protection. Wow, if we could do that, where could we all go for Christ? In observing a few of the girls with their fathers go through the obstacle course, I saw some very hesitant young ladies. They did not want to bump into anything. They wanted to trust their father's voice. But with the blindfold on and a few other voices around them, it was almost too much for them to make their feet move. And sometimes their father just had to grab their hands to help them through the maze. They wanted to trust, but there was too much going on and too many voices and too much uncertainty, and they kind of had to get pulled through. And it worked. They got through the maze. And I had to think that sometimes this is God speaking and encouraging, trying to direct us, and we often have our feet frozen in fear. And we each have our own tendencies, but for some of us, fear is a big one. And the problem is not, of course, with God. It is with us and our fears. For when we can't see too well, and we can't hear too well, and we can't feel his touch, our feet often stay frozen right where we are. And when our feet get frozen, what do we pray for? Protection. But I've learned through this message, I think what we need is actually direction. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Kind of puts a new twist on that verse, doesn't it? For when our feet get frozen and we cannot hear and we cannot see, we most often again pray for protection when we actually need direction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The last point from the obstacle course is tuning out the world and all of its noise. We get nowhere when we're distracted in this world. If we cannot hear the still, small, quiet voice of our guide, the Holy Spirit, our path is uncertain and our aim is unsure, and this takes effort. It is a purposeful listening. It is a tuning in to the right station. It's like AM radio. You know what that is. It's like, and then you hit the station and bam, it's music clear. You're like, where'd that come from? That's AM radio. Well, this is what it is like tuning into the Holy Spirit. We need to be purposeful in listening to his spirit. It is to be intentional, a tuning into his will and his ways. And when you begin this journey of learning how to tune into the Holy Spirit, you begin this journey by willingly obeying your parents. That's how it begins. That's how it begins, by obeying your parents. In Ephesians 6:1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's a part there in the middle, it says, in the Lord. And this is very important about obeying your parents. See, not everyone has parents who are worthy of love. We covered that already. But what does it mean to obey your parents in the Lord? Sadly, some children do not have parents who are in the Lord. Does that mean that their children don't have to obey them? Not exactly, but observe. It is true that obedience without the Lord is very difficult. And it is shown in their parent, in the children. For those parents that don't follow the Lord, it is, you will see it in their children's obedience. Obedience begins with a humble heart in both the parent and the child. And a humble heart comes from knowing that you are forgiven and saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who willingly died on the cross for your sins. When adults begin this journey to parenting on this path, their hearts are shaped to be more like God, and their hearts are shaped to help the hearts of their children into willful submission, not to themselves, but to God. For the real journey in parenting is not about protection, it's about direction. Oh, that we would all learn to pray in that way. Let's pray. Dear God, we are grateful for the lessons that you've given us this morning. God, we ask for direction, maybe in new ways. What would you have us do? Where would you have us go? God, we are humbled again by your presence this morning. God, we are grateful that you do want to encourage us, that you do send a helper, your Holy Spirit, to lead us, to guide us, to encourage us on our journey. God, help us to pray a little bit less for protection and a little bit more for direction, that we would be able to do your will, that our hearts would be bent towards you and your great and wonderful promises, that your hope would be evidenced on our face as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen. This is strange. I'm sorry, but I had a thought and it came back to me just now, so I feel like I have to say it, but it's strange. But if something in this message connected with you during the last, as we prepare to sing the last song, if something connected with you, and for any reason that you would need a hug this morning, you may come down front and receive a hug from a brother to a brother and a sister to a sister. If that's something you need, you may come front and participate together in that activity. So, thank you. Chorister may lead us in a closing song.